Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host and very good internet talk man, Matt.
No, I am your host, Cliff. It's a like Spartacus kind of deal. No, I'm Spartacus.
No, I'm Hosticus. It's podcast time.
It is.
Let's record a podcast, Cliff.
I mean, you know, sure. Why not?
I haven't been playing very many games this week because I'm busy packing my life up to move into state. But I still managed to dedicate a good chunk of time day to day because I'm dedicated to my craft. And that craft has been in the form of two very disparate games in the past week. The first one is one that I am legit addicted to playing at this point. Stardew Valley.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Having it portable is amazing. I've been playing it on buses, play it on breaks at work, on the couch, while watching TV. It's really good. And I think the reason that I've gotten into it so much, where, like, over the past however many years since the PS1 was active, I've failed to get into any Harvest Moon or Story of Seasons games,
is apart that from them being terrible.
Apart from them being terrible, is that there's no time limit pressure. At least the early Harvest Moon games, at least, had a target where by the end of the third year or whatever, your farm had to be profitable. You had to hit all these targets for it to be successful, otherwise you basically failed. Whereas Stardew Valley doesn't have any of that.
I mean, it'll still tell you you're a terrible farmer. It's just it doesn't matter, because you can play on for infinity, and it doesn't judge you for it.
Oh, yeah, like your grandpa, the ghost of your grandpa will check in on you at the start of the third year and rate you, but then at any point you can just leave a donation on his little shrine and he'll just come and assess it again. So there's no impetus to speed things up,
which you can do now, but you couldn't do before. Early on that didn't work and I had to get fixed. It wasn't working right when I tried to do it afterwards for the first time. Yeah, because I smashed the shit out of it in the first few weeks of it coming out, and I actually went through it, and it was a bug where it wouldn't actually do it. And
that's not helpful. Uh-oh. I'm really enjoying it. Like, I think for the first, I'm at the end of summer of the first year, so I haven't gotten super far, but I've been enjoying it.
Did you buy strawberries?
I did buy strawberries.
Did you buy as many strawberries as you possibly could, not caring if you bankrupted yourself?
I mean, I bought a lot of seeds. Why would I specifically want strawberries?
You want strawberry seeds because they're basically you know, nice, tasty red gold. They're worth a fortune. Yeah. They're the best
profit margin.
Yeah. It's massive because you plant them and you grow them and then they keep going all month. So you plant them day one and you can harvest them multiple times. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I might stock up at the end of the season so I can plant them day one, just smash out the entire day.
Can you get them? Do you get them? There's a festival where you, I think maybe in spring.
There was a festival in spring. And I did. Because as much as I'm trying to enjoy the game, I am a person who reads wikis to optimize things and know what to give people for their birthdays.
We're adults now, so it's basically like, okay, cool, this is what I want to do. Internet, tell me how exactly I can do it, because I don't have time to fuck about and work out these things for myself.
I'm like a really lazy min-maxer. Like, I just want to know the best way to do things in all cases. So, you know, check what a festival entails so I can have the thing ready to do it.
Yep. How do I hook up with the hot person I want to hook up with?
Yeah. I've been enjoying it. And after maybe halfway through spring, sort of realizing that there was just no impetus to rush through anything, I've, like, playing Persona 5, for instance, I wanted to 100% everything in that game. So I was playing from a schedule guide to make sure you could, you know, max all your skills and collect all the things and boost all your friendship, social tier things by the end of the game, because that had to be very tightly scheduled for any of it to happen. But this, I'm just like, oh yeah, I feel like mining today. Today I'll chop down some trees. Today I'll go fishing. Jokes, I'd never go fishing because fishing is the fucking boringest game thing ever.
Fishing is okay, and good luck trying to catch the big boss fish.
I don't care about fishing at all.
You will need I'll do it when to I do have some to. Things. Yeah.
I mean, but I'll just go buy crab pots and get it to cash shit for me.
Doesn't quite work like that.
don't care. I enjoy all the other things about the game, though. I really enjoy just walking up to people and handing them shit. I haven't decided which bachelor I'm going to marry yet, so I've been kind of gifting to all of them when I remember to. I really enjoy the fact that Alex, the sportman, I could just walk up to him on the beach and he'll be like, you're that farmer dude. And I hand him an egg and he's like, oh, cool, thanks. Or meeting Shane, the Walmart employee outside of his work as he finishes his shift with a beer on the street. Or an entire fucking pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's great.
I'm pretty sure also, I hooked up with Penny the Librarian in my first playthrough. In my second playthrough, I'm going after purple hair girl? Blue hair girl?
Maru?
Nah, it's like it was a character you couldn't hook up with originally when the first game came out, and then they released a bunch of other ones.
Who like meets you in her dreams and shit. I know the one you're talking about. I've been really enjoying going around doing all this stuff. Also, Pam, the town drunk / ex-bus driver.
That's Penny's mum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, a day ago in my playthrough, she sent me a letter saying, hey, I found this in a drawer somewhere in my house. Thought you could use it. And it was a beer.
Yeah.
So she just posted me a beer. I was like, all right, thanks, Pam. You drunk. I'll probably just go and re-gift this to you.
Abigail or Emily?
I think it's Emily. That sounds familiar.
Right next to Jodie's. Yeah, I think it's Emily because she's the youngest. Yes, her sister is Hayley and she's the blonde, stuck-up bitch. Oh,
yeah, I hate her.
Yeah, so I'm short, like, you know, spunky blue hair girl. I'm all about it.
Yeah. But I'm really enjoying the very thin veneer of Harvest Moon on top of a much sort of deeper storyline for this game. Like, everyone's just like, hey, it's town person. This is, like, the grumpy one. This is the happy one. This is the sport boy. And then...
this is the hobo.
You build your friendship with the Walmart sad guy, and you find out that he's, like, binge drinking and massively depressed and all this kind of crazy stuff as you sort of delve a little bit deeper. So I'm really enjoying that. And I'd been playing it at the same time as a friend at my now former work, Corey. Who seemed to have all of the luck with random drops in the mine, getting all the fancy equipment. Mm-hmm. And then today I got 3 pieces of rare loot on a single floor of the mine. So I feel pretty good about that.
What do you want to look out for if you haven't got it already? Let me just find out here. If you ever get a prismatic shard, hold on to it.
Yeah, I've heard those are important.
Yeah. It gets you the best sword in the game. So you get multiple throughout the thing. But when you get your first one, don't sell it. Don't do anything else with it. Go get the best sword because you'll need it.
I keep in the habit of storing away at least one of everything in case I need it later.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I do. And store away your a few different items at gold star level as well for various
for the bundles.
And stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm liking it that I need an app on my phone or something, a checklist app, which I've had for some games in the past where it's not just, like, I've seen ones that are just basically a veneer for the Stardew Wikipedia. But I need something with checkable boxes so I can remember where I'm up to with all the bundles and all that kind of stuff.
It's built into the game.
Yeah, I just mean something that I can look at quickly for all of the things I'm trying to track.
Oh, yeah, so that's where the wiki comes in handy.
Yeah.
Multiple monitors. Playing here. Look there. Oh, yeah, that's the thing that I need for that.
Yeah, that's into the box phone it goes, switch
the,
at all times.
Into the bundle box it goes.
But yeah, I'm having a really great time with it. And I love that this game was only $17 on Switch. Like, if you have any interest in kind of chill, fun games, then you should be getting this.
It is worth way more than $17.
Oh, yeah.
Way more.
Yeah, so great. Also, deeply fucked up in some ways. Like, how you can divorce someone, which means they'll dislike you forever until you pay a witch to wipe their memories.
Mm-hmm.
So that you reset back to the beginning and can re-romance them if you want. And also you can sell your children.
There's also an angry dwarf.
I've got to go meet him.
A weird shadow creature in the sewer. Who's very important too, because he will sell you iridium sprinklers.
Yeah, I need to get me some sprinklers because I'm sick of watering everything.
Best ever. I think for a certain amount of gold every Wednesday or Friday or something like that, you can go and buy one from him. So when you wear up as much money as you can and go buy an iridium sprinkler from him as much as you can, Yes.
That's the other thing. I've been having fun, like, just spending my money on whatever I like. I got some chickens. I upgraded my house, even though I didn't really need to, just because of the things I felt like doing. And it worked out pretty well.
I get one of all the animals, just because I want one of all of them so I can get the appropriate bundles and stuff completed.
Yeah. I'm getting there bit by bit. I think this is a game that I'd be able to play long term. I think it's going to be great for traveling and stuff like that. The other game I've been playing, though, complete polar opposite, Middle-earth Shadow of War.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say a complete opposite. I mean, one is like, you know, pixel art, you know, farming simulator type game. And the other one is like a crazy, like, open world, like, Stabathon from the Shadows with Banjo Orcs. Same thing, right?
It's, yeah, basically the same thing. I'm just farming, like, the inside of Orcs' heads.
Exactly.
It's, you know, it's very enjoyable. I haven't gotten very far in it due to limited availability to play in the last however many days since it came out. But, yeah, it seems like they've built off the systems that were put into place in the original. You're able, if you're playing on the same system, to import your nemesis from the original game, though I don't really see the point because the generated ones from the new game have a lot more depth to them. And I really don't remember any of my nemesis to any degree.
As much depth as a orc can be, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the person who built the game where you had the war chief douche, then I can understand wanting to bring him forwards. But otherwise, yeah, no. But yeah, the nemesis traits are really more variety. So yeah, you've got the banjo orc who will play you a little song while he tries to beat you to death. And all these things about how when you kill them, they can come back. Like, if your finisher move chops off their arm, they'll come back with a hook hand. If you cleave them in two, they'll come back with, like, metal patches, re-securing their bodies together and stuff like this. The best story I've heard, though, which I think I told you the other night, was someone who was reviewing the game who had, like, a tactician orc that they kept running into. And rather than killing them or enslaving them, they were just sort of humiliating him and setting him on his way. And so eventually, after four or five encounters doing the same thing over and over again, he devolved from this kind of high-spoken tactical orc to basically just going, ah, blah, blah, meh, mm, and like grunting and spitting when he fought him, which is really cool. Like, I look forward to getting far enough in the game that I have these recurring orcs that I just kind of smash the crap out of.
It's okay to break someone psychologically if they're a bad or evil orc. It's fine.
Yeah, if they're an orc.
Hmm.
I haven't gotten far enough in the game.
Snack pack, maybe don't. But, you know, if they're an evil
far enough to, like, do domination
evil
and
lord,
stuff,
then yeah.
But, yeah, I'm enjoying it. I feel like it's a bit more violent than last time. Because I haven't unlocked Dominator or anything, I can interrogate dudes to find out about the captains and then don't have an option of what to do afterwards. So basically he just squeezes their neck and their head pops like a black pimple, which I don't remember it being that kind of sensationalist in the first game.
I'm also not sure how that is works slash is possible.
Yeah, I don't think too much about it. But yeah, like the regions, because there's multiple regions you travel through in this one, they're pretty diverse from what I've seen so far. They feel more cluttered. Like, I feel like Shadow of Mordor had a lot of open spaces.
It's pretty empty, and there's not a lot in them.
It
shows that it's an older game, because, yeah, it's just not filled with as much stuff as more modern open world games
are. In ways it worked, like, when you were riding the Caragors and stuff, like, it was good to have stretches where you could run around, where the two zones I've been through so far, Minas Ithil and something Ungor, it's like a city of the humans, and then like a mining area where Shelob the sexy spidey lady lives, but they're both really kind of cramped, so the traversal feels a little bit forced at times. You get a double jump, which is pretty cool for getting from place to place quicker and changing directions if Talion jumps in a weird direction. But yeah, I kind of liked having the big open stretches to just kind of sprint through.
Well,
in the
first
games.
The original game, the way the map was set up is it basically looked like everything was like a highway. So there was not that much variation in the geometry of the world. It was quite empty. So if there was things like, if there was a, you know, there was a camp here and there, but between the camps, it was completely barren. between.
Yeah. And I mean, it could be that they'd have more sort of an open plain area, because I think there's 4 or 5 different zones in the game, and I've only hit 2 of them so far. So I'm hopeful, but yeah, this is a game, it's very fun, but if you're a hardcore devotee of the Lord of the Rings canon, you're probably going to have a bad time.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go down that route, everything except the holy books are going to be, you're going to have a bad time, so.
Yeah, Shelob is a sexy lady, because why not?
When you said that, I thought, I wouldn't describe her as a sexy spider lady, more like a horrible, horrible 8-legged demoness.
Oh no, she transforms into a raven-haired lady. She's very buxom and has a raggedy dress, because even though she can apparently transmogrify herself, she can't transmogrify a complete garment. And pretty sure in one of the scenes I just watched, like, the camera was very specifically placed, but she was basically sitting with her legs splayed wide open.
All eight.
Just fanning around that. Yeah, I'm not going there. And Gollum's around again, so that's a thing.
Because you can't have anything without Gollum.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be other cameos later on. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, it's fun. If you're going in for fun, you're going to have a good time. If you're going in for, like, dedication to lore, you're going to not do great.
Yeah.
I haven't hit against the microtransaction stuff yet either, because I don't think I've reached a game point in the game where I have the ability to dominate orcs, so a lot of the stuff is like loot boxes that drop high level orcs and stuff, but everything I've read says it's not required, so I don't care about that much. Apparently the final stretch of the game to get to the true ending requires a lot of grinding, which that's kind of the area where they've aimed these loot boxes at, so you can just kind of pave your way to the final ending with some cash. Yeah.
Microtransactions. Yeah. Horrible, horrible things.
Yeah. If I'm paying full price for a game, I don't want to be encouraged to pay microtransactions. No. Budget price the game and I'll consider it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
But yeah. But that's what I've been playing this week.
And it's not a multiplayer game either, is it?
There's no multiplayer. It's got the asynchronous multiplayer like it did in Shadow of Mordor, where you can encounter orcs that defeated your friends and kind of get vengeance on them and stuff like that.
But it's not like they have to support like a massive server farm full of things to, and they need the microtransactions to help fund that as it goes forward. Wow. Yeah, that's not, I can kind of understand why microtransactions come in with big games that require like servers running. But
yeah, like the Destiny 2 loot boxes and stuff. Yeah.
But if you don't need, you know, an entire server farm to run, you know, all your PUBG servers, for example. Yeah, it's not cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my playlist for the week. How about you?
Well, speaking of PUBG, I've played lots of it in the last week. I've won a bunch of games. We yesterday had an encounter with our first confirmed hacker.
Oh.
Yeah. So one of the hacks that's going around in it is a speed hack. So the character will move like ridiculously fast. And of course, you can't hit something that's moving like the Flash. Because that's what it's like. So we're in a squad of 4. I was cruising along because the guys were still looting, but I was moving to the next spot. So I was by myself. And so I'd skirted a bunch of buildings, and I was getting fired upon, but nothing too bad. I went over a hill, and then I heard a couple of shots ring out, and I was dead instantly after like 2 shots. And then a guy comes up to my body, because it was still over my body. And of course, I was complaining to my friends about how it was bullshit that I got killed because of all that sort of stuff. Just standard PUBG stuff, you know. Whenever you die, it's always bullshit. And in this case, it actually was bullshit. The guy was part of the group in the houses and had actually speed hacked up and over the rise, following my car, being able to keep pace with it, and then shot me. And we also believe that he had some sort of aim hack as well, because he was shooting and killing, shoot, kill, that kind of stuff. We actually pulled some footage. I'll send you a quick video that you can have a look, and you can see him speed hacking it. But we saved some footage for it. And, he was near my body looting it, and he was moving back and forth, because it's a common thing in PUBG to move back and forth a few meters to make it harder for someone to actually hit you. So he's doing that, but he's moving real quick, and I thought, that looks a bit odd. And then a couple of his mates come up and start looting me as well, because I had stuff that I obviously wanted. And all 3 of them run off at the same speed, at the same time. 2 of them run off at normal speed. The other guy just goes straight out of screen. Like, hey, this is dodgy. So fast forward a bunch, like this is pretty early in the game, so it's down to the other 3 guys. Fast forward right to the end of the game, it comes down to the last 3 squads. So it's one guy, two of our guys and another three guys, and they're the speed. The three guys were the speed hacker guys.
Yeah,
we get footage of the speed hack. So, like I said, I'll send you the video we got of it real quick.
Well, he's moving quite fast. Yes.
Yes. Zoom. Yes, he is. Yep.
The red shirt is very appropriate.
When I died, I reported him for it. And yeah, now we got this footage as well. So that's pretty damning footage. People don't move that quick.
Yeah, that is unfortunate on his part.
Yeah, you can see him turn it on as well. So he runs, then he turns it on and goes...
He's got a sprint button.
Yeah, so that's pretty bad. So we counted that. But apart from being kind of dirty about that, I won a solo game about half an hour ago.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. But apart from that, I've actually dusted off my Vita. I cranked out my Vita and looking through my game library. And I actually started up a game that I haven't played ever because I've only ever stuck to solo digit versions of the game. But I started up Final Fantasy X HD in there. Boy, is the voice acting crappy in that. I don't know if it's just the HD version or whether that's what was the actual thing.
Ha, 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 ha.
Man, is the voice acting bad.
Yeah. I mean, it was the first time they ever had voice acting in a Final Fantasy game.
They had been doing voice acting in that country in anime for a billion years, and yet they fuck it up when it comes to one of the biggest game franchises around.
Yeah. I remember it fondly. Some of it was good, some of it was terrible. All of it was memorable.
So I've played it in a couple of sessions, but I haven't done much of it. It seems pretty different to a lot of the beginnings of Final Fantasy games I've played.
Yeah, definitely.
You're a super famous Blitzball player, which apparently is played in a giant sphere of water.
Yep, obviously.
And that they can breathe for reasons I'm going to assume is magic.
They hold their breath for literally 300 years, which is how long a game of Blitzball takes to play in the game.
At least with Quidditch, people get hit with shit.
Yeah. One of the ultimate weapons for the characters, you have to play through Blitzball. I never got that ultimate weapon because fuck Blitzball. It was so boring. And just pointless and dumb, and I hated it. But the game itself was good.
I've heard it's very, very good, but I never played it because I never got a PS2, so I never could play it. Yeah. Then I got a Vita, which is, I guess, better than a PS2. Probably more like a PS2.5.
Bit around about that, touch stuff. Yeah, I remember when that came out, the HD remaster, I was reviewing it, so I got a copy of the PS3 version, PS3, and the Vita version. And they had cross-play, so you could sort of save on one, load it to the other, which was awesome because, you could... It was basically like a really lo-fi version of the Switch. I could go play it on the go, come home, cross-load my save, and continue playing on the TV. Which apparently is exactly what I need out of all games.
That was supposed to be one of the big selling points of the Vita, but like nothing actually did anything about it.
Yeah, they always had remote play, which was pretty well handled, but... Yeah, the cross-play stuff wasn't as common as it should have been.
One of the big ones was, I think it was MLB, the game, or the show, or whatever, for one of the
MLB,
years.
The show, yeah.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the big one, where they showed a thing of someone playing on their TV, and then they had to go out, so they picked their Vita up from their sweet, like, $100 mount that they bought from Sony in front of their the PlayStation, and picked it up and went out, and while in my mind, it was one of those stereotypical, like... You know, the girlfriend's dragging him out somewhere and he's taken his baseball with him. And done thing. That might not have been how it went, but in my mind, that's how it goes. But yeah, so I'm dusting that up and playing that. I mean, I'm going to have to do something while waiting in line at PAX for things.
To be fair, the lines in the last couple of years not been that bad. So you may not get as much playtime as you think, but it's definitely good to have something because there will be downtime between things and you can only walk the show floor so many times.
Yeah. I've also put XCOM on there as well, Enemy Unknown.
Oh, nice.
Fuck yeah, it kills some aliens. I'm just
spoilers, the enemy is known, it's aliens.
Well, I mean, you don't know what to start with. I mean, you know it's aliens, we don't know what aliens. You discover more as we go along.
Yeah. So that's kind of been your...
Yeah, that's all I've done. Except watch some TV and stuff.
That's true. I've also been watching the new season of Voltron that just dropped, which is as good as always. I love Studio Mir. Shall we move on to some news?
Sure.
Do we want to talk news or trailers first?
Well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
I have news that is trailers and news that is not trailers.
I mean, let's do trailers.
Let's do trailers? Okay. Yeah. Well, first one, trailer came out for this little indie movie, Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi.
I've heard of this. It's kind of surprising they've got to 8, considering the small nature of the picks.
Yeah, it just never seems to make it into the public knowledge field. It's just kind of always on the edges.
Mm.
But yeah, this one, they've got laser swords. They're in space. There's a girl. That's new.
People are freaking out about space penguins.
Yes, the Porgs have definitely been generating a reaction. I'm fine with them.
A massive overreaction. I mean, it's quite clear that they're a money grab because they're the most merchandisable piece of Star Wars.
It's true.
It's crazy. But I haven't seen anything that has made them Jar Jar Binks or the worst part about Ewoks. There's a lot of good stuff about the Ewoks, but there's some woeful stuff about the Ewoks as well. I haven't seen anything that takes them that far yet.
Yeah. It turns out that Supreme Leader Snoke is just a Porg that's been shaved.
It's just a series of Porgs that have been shaved.
Ah, there we go. Yeah. So yeah, no, the trailer looks pretty good. It's impressive.
It's pretty non-committal in terms of storyline.
Which is what I want from a Star Wars trailer.
A couple of bits where it looks like creative editing, but who knows until the movie comes out.
I'm just so bummed because this will come out the day after I get on a plane back from America. So I will be staying in Seattle, which has a big, nice IMAX theater, but I won't be able to see Star Wars on it. But I'll be living in Melbourne there, so I guess Melbourne probably has an IMAX theater, so it may not be that big of a deal.
Isn't there only one in Australia left in Sydney now?
I don't know. Maybe I'll stop off in Sydney on my way back. Just have like a couple of hours layover.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's coming visually out in December. It looks really, really good. We're talking about this the other night. I just hope it doesn't fall into the trap of remaking Episode 5. I want them to go new places with it. I don't want them to rehash stuff. So we've rehashed, doomsday weapons before, super weapons. Mm-hmm. We've done that. Please don't rehash the exact storytelling and key things. So just do something new with it. It probably won't happen because it's Star Wars. They know what fans want, and so they'll play on that. And they know that the original trilogy works, so they'll probably just hit a lot of the beats in the original trilogy. But I hope they go somewhere new with it.
Yeah, I did laugh. I saw on Twitter, I think it was BuzzFeed or some other kind of clickbaity news thing, they posted an article which got tweeted onto their Twitter account saying, so new trailer's out, but what does the title mean by The Last Jedi? And Rian Johnston, the director for the movie, responded to that tweet and just said, it's Luke.
He's, like, right, he's cool. The last like actual Jedi.
Yeah.
It's quite clear of that.
Because when the title was announced, there was all the back and forth, which I think we even talked about on the podcast, about how Jedi is the plural of Jedi. So are we talking about The Last Jedi singular, The Last Jedi plural, as in Luke and Rey? And who is the Jedi if they're referring to a singular? Is it Rey? Is it Luke? Is it someone else? And yeah, the director's just like, it's Luke. Let's move on.
Yep. It's not really that. The title of the Star Wars movies haven't really been that exciting anyway. A New Hope, which was titled after the others came out, is quite clear that Luke is the New Hope for everything. Then The Empire Strikes Back, obviously the good guys win, so the bad guys have to like come back a bit to that. And then Return of the Jedi, Luke becomes a Jedi and defeats, two of the Sith guys, comes back, and then Phantom Menace. Yeah. The prequel ones don't really count even less because we already knew they had to get from point A to point B. But yeah, so the titles have never been really that crazy. They've never really described the intricacies of what's going on in them. I don't think anyway. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. But it's not the only trailer that came out this week. There was a couple of good ones. The final trailer for Stranger Things Season 2 dropped in the last couple of days, which gave us our best sight yet at the new sort of monster of the season, the giant smoke spider. It looks
very non-defined. It's very like a cloud.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's
in like a weird octopusy kind of shape.
And they also mention in the dialogue of the trailer that it's evolved. So I'm wondering if this is maybe the next evolutionary stage of the Demogorgon.
Could be. We don't know anything really about the Upside Down.
Yeah. What we do know is that Eleven's hair grew back and she has an adorable curly mop.
If that's how you want to describe it, I would describe it as a horrible 80s haircut. But, you know, to each their own. Well, as I'm looking at you, you've got like weird like curly bits going on up that, there. So I guess you're kind of like slanting towards them. Mm, isn't that great?
Curly life is my life. It's nice to see my people represented on film.
Not that it matters, because people with straight hair want curly hair, and people with curly hair want straight hair, so...
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's coming out during PAX, which sucks, but I look forward to binge-watching my way through another season of that show, because I wasn't that, super
That's my
hot.
Relaxing time when I get back from PAX, is to just watch every single episode back-to-back.
Yeah. I wasn't that hot on it when it first came out, but when I finally got on board, I was like, oh yeah, cool, this is an awesome show.
I watched that one episode and I'm like, this is the most 80s thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm a great 80s kid and I love The Goonies, so I was all about that shit. Once I actually watched it, I've been told by a bunch of people it was great, and it took a while to actually get into it, like to actually start it. But once I started it, I was all good from there.
Yeah, it was a slow burn getting onto it. But yeah, that's something to look forward to end of this month. The final trailer that also dropped at the end of this week was for The New Mutants. It's another Mutants movie. I thought it was a TV series for a minute, but it's not. I think X-Force is the TV series that's coming. But The New Mutants is a very
X-Force
different...
was going to be a movie.
Okay. New Warriors, I think, is the one I'm thinking of.
All right. So New Mutants out next April.
Yes.
And then Deadpool 2 in June. Fuck yes. They still can't get their movies right. They're going Dark Phoenix. And they're doing that as one movie, like they did Apocalypse One movie. Why? Build up Apocalypse, for fuck's sake. Build up Dark Phoenix over multiple movies.
Yeah.
Gambit is apparently still a thing that's happening.
Yeah, probably. Apparently.
And then X-Force at some point. But yeah, I was pretty sure the X-Force, yeah, was a movie, because they're gonna... You can't have X-Force without Deadpool. Not in the current thing. You can't have anything without Deadpool at the moment.
Yeah, I think I was thinking of New Warriors, because it's just another one of the kind of Marvel titles I'm not super familiar with. But yeah, New Mutants is going to be a very different Marvel mutant movie, because it's set in an asylum, and it's more like sort of a thriller than anything else. Maisie Williams is in it, which means it's... Yes?
Who is
she?
She's
going to be in there? I don't know.
Will she be better than Jean Grey?
Possibly. That's
also,
another.
Does that mean they can become super best friends in the X-Men universe?
I don't know if they've actually announced who's playing who.
Also, they need to be on the screen at the same time, and they need to make Game of Thrones jokes. Otherwise, what is even the point of casting any of them?
That's right. Maisie Williams is playing Wolfsbane, who is basically a mutant who turns into a wolf lady.
Werewolf, gotcha.
So I'm looking through the character list. Here, and I'm actually surprised that I recognize most of them.
Wasn't she in X-Force at one point?
Wolfsbane, I think so.
X-Force at one point? I read a ton of X-Men and spin-off comics a couple of years ago.
So, there'll be Wolfsbane, who is Scottish, so it's Maisie Williams doing a Scottish accent. We'll have
Sophie Turner doing an American accent.
Well, yeah. We'll have Cannonball, so that should be a fun one to see the effects for. Because basically his butt turns into an explosion and he flies around. Magic is going to be in it, which I would have thought she'd be reserved for mainline X-Men titles.
Yes. I'm digressing. I'm going back to my thing. Cyclops reformed the X-Force after the Messiah Complex, which is part of the comic thing I wrote with... her name's Rane? Rane?
Rane Sinclair, yep.
Yeah. R-A-H-N-E.
Mm-hmm.
Go nuts with the pronunciation of that one. So turns out Wolverine is the leader of that kind of thing. And yeah, they go crazy and they get X-23. She cuts her own arm off or something to
Do
something. Yeah, from memory.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she was totally in X-Force. So that's kind of cool, because that means they could bring her into X-Force, which means that they can actually get on screen together. Jean Grey and Wolfsbane.
There you go. But yeah, for this movie, so Wolfsbane, Cannonball.
She's a direwolf.
She kind of is. Cannonball, Explosion Butt, Sunspot, who is Cannonball's best friend, so you can't have those bros separated.
Wasn't Sunspot in Days of Future Past?
I think he was, yeah. His thing is he sort of turns like solid black and can shoot solar flares. Yes, he was played by Adan Kanto in Days of Future Past.
Yeah. They're bringing a lot of the those mutants at the start of Days of Future Past. They're bringing a lot of them into stuff because what's her face is in it? I always forget her name and you always tell me what it is.
Blink?
Yes, her. She was in the start of it.
She was. There'll also be Mirage, Danielle Moonstar, who can create illusions from people's fears. Magic,
she's a
who
bonkit,
has a wicked sword and is Colossus's sister. So that is... Oh, and Cecilia Reyes, who I don't know if she's a hero, but she can make force fields, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks very kind of dark. The whole trailer is set to... what's that song? You know, We Don't Need No Education.
The Pink Floyd song.
Yeah. So I don't know if that means it's going to be a period piece or they're just picking like the edgiest song they could find.
That would be interesting considering where Legion pops up. Because Legion also pops up in a bunch of like weird asylum-y type deals.
That's true. Is
set to the 70s, I think? It seems 70s in places.
They were very fluid with the timescale because they had mobile phones.
It was like watching Pulp Fiction. You never know exactly when that takes place. It could be any time from like 1950 through to now.
Mm. So that actually looks like it'll be really interesting because it's not the same kind of bombastic superhero thing that they always go for. So maybe they'll come out of it as a super team. Maybe they won't. But yeah, time will tell. But that's all the trailers I've got. So all that's left is news, which there's not very much of. First kind of surprising thing, Humble Bundle was bought by IGN.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Could be good or bad. We'll wait to see on that
either
one.
Either way.
I guess it's time for me to actually redeem all those keys for those games I haven't redeemed yet. Before they do some sort of weird retconning of all that shit.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I'm lucky that most of the stuff I've ever gotten through Humble Bundle has been Steam codes. So don't worry about losing anything. Humble Bundle's definitely expanded a lot since they launched. Like, they've just had a game store for years now, and they do multiple bundles across games and other stuff, books and educational tools and things like that.
Subscription stuff now as well.
Yep, the Humble Monthly.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see what the IGN acquisition does to the company.
I mean, clearly it's a successful company because they've gone from nothing to pretty big. Probably easily the biggest of the bundle type websites. You've got like things like Bundle Stars and that sort of stuff, but Humble Bundle is the big one.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't acquire another company to leave it exactly the same, so... Yeah, I'm interested to see if they'll come out with kind of a roadmap for what they're going to do with it or not. But I haven't bought a Humble Bundle in years, so I don't really mind either way. The only reason I use Humble Bundle consistently is that a lot of Kickstarters will release their codes using the Humble Bundle library stuff because it's a good rollout method, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see how that one pans out.
Yeah. The other thing, which we have seen how it's panned out, Swery65's game, The Good Life, which I believe I brought up last week, finished its FIG campaign and fell woefully short of target.
Oh no.
So their target was 1.5 million. They hit 45%, so 682 grand over the course of a month.
That's pretty good, but... Still not going to
be a success.
Yeah.
I did back the campaign at the last minute, just so that I'd be able to see the updates when it failed.
Sure, that's what it was.
They've said they've learned from this. They need to adjust their kind of methodology for dealing with this stuff. Maybe not send 3 updates a fucking day, and instead focus on getting gameplay footage out there that's of a decent quality. They'll be relaunching on Kickstarter at the end of the year, apparently. I wonder if they'll adjust the scope of the game or maybe actually target it as a mobile title, which half the problem was everyone thought it was a mobile title to begin with because they leaked early. Yeah, that was unsurprising, but it still happened.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Yeah, so I look forward to seeing updates from that campaign when they say, hey, we're looking on Kickstarter, can you please promise us money again? But
isn't there all kinds of rules about once it's been done on Kickstarter, you can't do it again?
I don't know if they have that from the Kickstarter side, but they started outside Kickstarter, so I think they can go into Kickstarter as a second wave if they like.
Right.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad. Like, Swery, he's had a pretty good history as a game designer, and Fig's whole thing is that big companies and publishers can invest on a larger scale to then get a share of the profits, and it seems like nobody did that. Because they had less than 3,500 backers in total. And, yeah, from... I mean, they had a bit of a jump. They're at, like, sub 500,000 within the last few days. So they had a bit of a jump. But I don't think that it was a company or anything that did that. So, yeah, that failed. Sorry, Swery. It's cool. I've got plenty of Stardew to play. I don't need your game that badly. but yeah, that's about all the news I have for this week.
Yeah, I don't really have much else either.
I mean, the Batman the Animated Series got announced for Blu-ray.
Oh yeah, so that'll be cool.
Getting it all remastered.
Yep.
But maybe I'll finally go back and watch through that entire series because I remember seeing bits and pieces of it as a kid, but never sort of front to back watched it. Yeah. So that's it. That's the end of the podcast.
Woo!
So thank you for listening to our podcast, The Indoorsman, which is your guide to the great indoors. We like recording it and appreciate thinking about the fact that probably someone listens to it.
Well, at least one person listens to it every week.
Yes, thanks, Mum.
Two people listen to it every week.
Thanks, Mum and Dad.
Well, Steve listens to it every week. Thanks, Steve.
My dad probably doesn't listen to it. But for the rest of you who do actually listen to our podcast, thank you.
If you like our opening and closing music, it's Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W, and you can go to Bandcamp and find it there, as well as a whole bunch of other places if you just search Rocco W or Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy.
Yeah, you should listen to it, because the rumor is that the next classic mini that's going to be made is a Game Boy classic mini, so get onto those compression on Game Boy sounds so that you're ready for that.
Stop giving Nintendo money.
Never.
If you stop giving them their money, they'll actually change.
No.
And they'll give us the things that are actually kind of standard in the world.
No, they already gave me Stardew, I'm fine. You can find us online at indoorsmanpodcast.com and at indoorsmanpod for Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And the last one is where you can find our cover art, which is very good.
They gave you a game that was already out on PC that you already owned.
Yeah. Thanks, Nintendo. I love you, Nintendo.
If you want to tweet directly at us, you can get me at CliffinMonkey and Matt at Ponk on Twitter. And of course, if you want to email us with any questions or comments or whatever, send them our way. And it's contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
That is the one. We'd also love it if you could subscribe, review, and rate the show on iTunes or other podcast mediums. But if you do it on iTunes, we're more likely to notice. It also helps us get recognized and get more things to talk about, because people who are in the industry will notice that we exist.
Hooray!
Which is always good.
But for now, that guy there has been Matt.
And that other guy there has been Cliff. And we will sign off by the traditional farewell of tradition, which is to say, I need to go do some farming and give my sport boy an egg so that he loves me more.
I feel like you could say the word tradition more in that sentence. I don't feel like you hit it enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, goodbye. Tradition.